Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, March 5th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Bangalore, India. Let's start today with crypto and a TLS flaws. We have really two to talk about here. The first one is a weakness in how the TLS protocol is commonly implemented. And in particular, what it allows is it allows for a server to play man in the middle. Now, typically when you connect to an SSL server, the server authenticates, but in this particular case, we assume that the client authenticates as well using a client certificate. The weakness here is that the server now can take the client certificate, relay it to another server, and then essentially just relay back whatever response it gets from the other server to have it verified by the client. This becomes a particular problem if the connection is interrupted and renegotiated, and now the actual weakness here happens where the server that's playing man in the middle can then swap certificates because they're not always properly validated at this point. So this is a fixable problem. The issue here sounds a little bit esoteric in the sense that it only applies to connections that use client certificates. But if you think about it, those are usually the connections that you're most concerned about. If you went through all the trouble to roll out a PKI to authenticate against this web server, of course the web server here is the evil man in the middle, but a compromised web server could easily then take on this role. So pretty interesting flaw. It has been fixed in some implementations. I don't have a complete list right now as to what implementations have been fixed. The second problem is a plain coding error in GNU TLS that is somewhat reminiscent of the recent problem that Apple had and is its SSL library. No, it's not a duplicate GoTo, but in code that verifies a certificate and that uses then GoTo's in the code ahead of the GoTo, the return parameter wasn't set correctly or wasn't set at all. So this has been fixed now with this vulnerability. It was possible to impersonate servers because the certificates weren't validated correctly in some cases. And then a couple of updates on the upcoming Windows XP apocalypse. Well, first of all, Larry Seltzer of CDNet points out that one story I had yesterday about Microsoft continuing to support the Chinese version of Windows XP was not right. It was based on sort of a misinterpretation of what the Microsoft China division has said about Windows XP. What they really were saying is that just various antivirus companies are going to continue to support Windows XP, and that's of course true for all versions of Windows XP. We have covered that before, that most antivirus companies will continue to support Windows XP for a year or so, depends on the particular antivirus company. And Microsoft is stepping up its effort to notify users who are still running Windows XP. First of all, with next week's, I guess, Windows update, if a Windows XP host is set up to automatically download updates, it will also download a little tool that will display a warning that the Windows XP support will be discontinued in a month. Microsoft also set up a little website, amirunningxp.com, that will tell you whether or not you're running Windows XP. That's, I think, a good thing for a lot of non-technical users. To you, it may be obvious what operating system you're running, but I frequently run into users that have no idea. So sending them to this website, amirunningxp.com, is a nice little trick to get their awareness up. Of course, probably only a matter of time for spammers to come up with similar links that link to malware, but that would probably happen whether Microsoft has the page or not. And just a couple of various items that we heard of regarding the ongoing issues in the Ukraine. Well, it turns out that apparently Russian troops, by seizing the Crimean area, also gained access to some of the Ukrainian cell phone networks and are using that at least for denial of service attacks against specific cell phone users. Apparently, members of parliament had issues with their cell phones getting disconnected. Also, RT.com, which is the website for Russia Today, a pro-Russian news network, did get defaced. It looks to me like the attacker gained access to some kind of admin interface. Essentially, all the headlines were altered, but overall, the layout of the page and such remained the same. One problem, of course, here for the Ukraine is that the Ukrainian and the Russian telecommunication networks are quite intertwined, so there isn't really sort of a clear physical separation between those two networks, which of course makes some attacks, like for example against the cell phone network, a little bit easier. And then there are a couple of reports with upticks of malware from the Ukraine, but I'm not really sure if this is significant at this point. And talking about ongoing attacks, there are also more issues with home routers. Yet another network of botted home routers has been discovered that essentially was used to change DNS settings in connected networks. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably already checked your router, but maybe use, for example, Windows XP, the impeding expiration here, as a reason to talk to friends and family about also checking up on their home router. That's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.